السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه، ومن استن بسنته، ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. So we start off by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to appreciate every Jumu'ah. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating it, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that the last day of our lives in this world is this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. The topic that I wish to discuss today is the topic of maut, the topic of death, and how important it is to keep death all the time in front of a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that to the extent that death is in front of a person and akhirat, the life after death, is in front of a person, to that extent his life will be straight in this world, to that extent his life will be correct. So there's a direct relationship, there's a direct correlation between having death in front of a person, having akhirat in front of a person, and being straight in this world. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in one hadith, he said, أَكْثِرُ ذِكْرَ هَازِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ يَعْنِي الْمَوْتِ. That remember in abundance that thing that will smash off all pleasures, all unlawful pleasures, the thing that will smash it and drop it, and kill that unlawful pleasures. Remember that in abundance. يَعْنِي الْمَوْتِ. And what is that? Remember maut abundantly. So this remembrance of maut is something that is very essential, very crucial. But yet it is a topic that we try to avoid. We try to even ignore it. Sometimes we'll find a family member that may be very sick. Nobody wants to speak anything about death. Leave death. We rather hear that the person is doing very well. We want to hear those kind of stories, how they are. But we like to avoid that talk or that reality that death is close to that person, death is also close to us. It's just that nobody knows when death will come. So this is one of the biggest realities. The biggest reality that we'll face in this world is the reality of death. That death will have to strike a person. It doesn't matter who he is. That's why in one ayat of the Quran it says, وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. A person may be in fortified towers. He may be in a fortified tower all alone, segregating from people. He may be hiding in there. But maut will find you there. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ. It doesn't matter where you are. يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ. Maut will find you. You don't have to go and fight maut. Maut will find you. Recent times, that there was a person that was a driver, truck driver in Syria. So he had that open bed truck, and he had a coffin that he had in the back. In other words, there was one janaza there in the back of the coffin, in back of the truck, and he was transporting it and taking it somewhere. So whilst he's driving, there was somebody that was thumbing a lift. So he told that person, you jump in, no problem, jump in the back and we'll move. So as they're moving, it started raining heavy. So this person in the back of the truck, the only place he could get shelter was inside that coffin. So he opened it up and he jumped inside. So he jumped inside, he found a space there and he was there. As they're moving, another person required a lift. So this truck driver said, jump in. So that person also jumped in there. Now he's also looking for shelter. So he can see that there's a coffin there, he's thinking whether I should go or not go. Whilst he's still thinking, that person inside opened that coffin just to put his hand out to see whether the rain stopped. When he saw that, this person jumped off the truck whilst it was moving. And he passed away. He passed away. Imagine Allah Ta'ala used one coffin, a dead person, another person inside that coffin, for this person who was there on the ground, for his life to be taken away. Therefore the ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. Nobody knows that way his life is going to come away. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَا. That what you're going to earn tomorrow also, that also you don't know. You can have predictions and you can have estimations, but you don't know what you're going to earn. You don't know what you're going to receive. You don't even know where your maut is written. You may be planning a holiday to an exotic destination, so excited and so much of planning, but you don't know that your maut may be written in that destination. So therefore, this keeping maut in front of a person is a very important thing. It's not something that we should shy away from. Sometimes you'll find that if somebody has to park a hearse in front of our house, he just parks the hearse there. Or he may ask us permission, can I park this hearse here for a few days? It may be a very expensive hearse, a Mercedes hearse, that over ₹1 million. He says, can I just park it here? Then, by please don't park this hearse here. People will be frightened to come to my house. So this is something that people naturally fright for, but this is a reality that we have to all be prepared for maut. So I was mentioning that to the extent that person has maut in front of him, to that extent his life will be straight. To that extent he will be correct. You want a person who knows that any moment I can go, any moment I can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you think that person will delay in paying his debts? You think that person will want to cheat? He'll want to steal? He'll want to disobey his parents? He want to go against his seniors? He'll want to miss his namaz? If he's got maut in front of him, morning, then don't anticipate to see the evening. And when it is evening, then don't anticipate to see the morning. In other words, may it be a reality that I don't even know if I'll see the night. I must be prepared right now. My Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, he mentions that on one occasion he asked his Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, he said that, you know what I do? I got a habit that my sajda itilawat is when you're reciting Quran, then you come to a sajda ayat. So he says, what I do is when I come to the sajda ayats, I collect them, I allow the balance to increase, and when it reaches maybe 20, 25, 30, then I make all my sajda ayats. I find it a little bit easier, and every time there's a sajda ayat, I must make sajda. Is that okay, this method? So he said, he just gave me one answer. He said, maut ka koi borosa hai? There is any guarantee of maut that you want to build up a balance, and then you want to make it? He said, that struck me immediately, that even sajda itilawat, we don't build it up. Even our qazas, we don't delay it. We start making up for it immediately. We don't have big plans in front of us. Therefore, Hazrat Mawlana Tanvir Rahmatullah Ali, when he would be there at a janaza, and at that janaza, people would tell him that, Hazrat, give some advices. Use that occasion now to give people advices. There's a scene here where we got a scenario here where there's a mayyat that's taking place. He would say that this janaza is a bayan in itself. I don't need to give a bayan. Just look at that janaza. It's a bayan. It got so much to say. And Allah Ta'ala Himself tells us in the Quran that what does a person say at that time when maut is about to hit him? What does he say? He says that, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hatta idha jaa ahadun mautu qala rabbi rji'un. O Allah, allow me to go back. La'alli a'malu saliha. Please, O Allah, allow me to go back. I want to do some good deeds. Those good deeds that I left out, those opportunities that I had, I thought life was long. I thought I'll see 80, 90. I didn't realize it will hit me so quickly. Just allow me a few moments. That is what that janaza is saying. That just allow me a few moments to go back so I can sort out all my issues. I can get my will right. I can get my estate right. Those relationships that have broken with my family members, I can sort that out. Those people that I have did down, I can ask them for maaf. There's so many things that I need to do. Just allow me those moments. That is the bayan of the janaza. It's just that we can't hear it. We just have to understand it. So what does Mawlana Tanvir Rahmatullah say? This is a sabak. This is a bayan in itself. That person that had so much of life in him, so much of vigor in him, that person suddenly is lying there. Therefore in Urdu, there's a nice couplet. That sab taat para reh jayega, jab khat chalega banjara. That all that person's cars, his exotic cars, his homes, his jewelry, his clothing, everything just lies one side. When you go to janaza home like that, person is a multi-millionaire, billionaire, all his cars are still lying there, all his investments are lying one side, his clothing, all that in his room there, his jewelry, whatever he got is lying there in the vaults. So he says, sab taat para reh jayega, everything just remains one side. All those things that were means of glory to the man, all those things are just lying one side. When? Jab khat chalega banjara. When that baya, when that janaza is left on the side of the qabr, just before that person can be put into the qabr. Everything else now is just left one side. It was a dream. There was one person, he said, put this message on my tombstone. That, me ehemta, or ye meri wehemta. That put this message on my tombstone. That me ehemta, one day I was an important person. I was very important. To call me, you need to go through my PA. You need to make an appointment to see me. You couldn't just see me like that. I had so many people working under me. I was a director. I was a CEO of so many companies. I was a very important person. But what was my illusion? This was my illusion, the qabr. I thought this was very far away. On one occasion, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhuma, he narrates this hadith. This hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawud Sharif, in Tirmidhi Sharif, in Ibn Majah Sharif. So he says, مَرَّ عَلَيْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَنَحْنُ نُعَالِجُ خُصَّ لَنَا. That on one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by us whilst we were restoring, we were fixing up our jopri, our hut, not a mansion, not a palace, not a skyscraper, we were just fixing up our hut, a shanty home, a simple home. That's all we were doing. We were fixing it up and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by us. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam said, Ma hadha, what is this? So we said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْنَا وَقَدْ هِيَا وَنَحْنُ نُصْلِحُهُ. Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this thing got weak. The structure got weak. Not that they were now upgrading to granite tops and they were trying to put the latest tiling and the latest curtains and they were trying to fix up the tennis courts and the swimming pools and they were trying to upgrade their home. Nothing like that. Nothing at all like that. They were not trying to get a designer home or a designer kitchen. All they were doing was fixing up this shanty home of theirs, this hut of theirs that had got weak. So that's what they told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نَحْنُ نُصْلِحُ. Oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're just restoring this thing that has got weak. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to them, مَا أُرَى إِلَّا الْأَمْرُ أَعْجَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. I only see death closer, faster to you than you even repairing this home of yours. This is how close I see mort. In other words, don't have hopes, don't have desires. Teaching us a lesson that mort is something that comes very quickly. Don't have desires. And this is the thing that takes away many, many people's time up, that restoring the home. Not just restoring, upgrading and making it better and better and better and trying to finish the home. That's why ulama explained that the finishers will finish you. That you'll never get to a time where you're completely satisfied that everything is true to T. This thing will finish you. Get to a point of qanaat where you are happy. That this is what Allah Ta'ala has given me, it's working, it's working. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the masjid would leak, the masjid would drip. That was not a problem, they never saw it as a problem. What they saw was a problem is how we need to rectify ourselves, correct ourselves and increase our ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what our focus needs to be on, not on anything else. So now what should we do? When we know that maut is lingering, maut is in front of us, what should we do to start preparing for maut? How should, or what should we do to see that we get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So I'll just mention a few things, inshallah. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in the assistance of a person so long as that person is assisting his brother. So we all want the help of Allah Ta'ala. We want the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. We want the assistance of Allah Ta'ala in the qabr when we reach. We want the assistance of Allah Ta'ala in the akhirat. Simple thing for us to start doing is helping our brothers, helping our friends, helping people. This is one way that ensures the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was an alim that came to visit last week, Maulana Junaid Saab. Many people may know him from Snembe. So he was telling us about that borehole that they had dug there in Snembe. Snembe, they are running a madrasa mostly for the indigenous brothers, for the black brothers. And together with the madrasa, they're running an orphanage. And together with the orphanage, they're running an old age home. Not that they're encouraging people to bring old people there, but there are so many old people, unfortunately, family members don't want to look after them. Now there's nobody to take care of them, so they were forced to build this old age home to take care of the elderly that nobody wants to look after. So this is what they were doing there. Together with that, they're running a dialysis clinic. Together with that, they're running a dentistry, they're running optometry, all that in that one clinic, and all at a very, very, very reduced charge or absolutely nothing. It is just done for the benefit of the public. So this was the niyat. I'm just showing you where the niyat is there to help. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you. So he said that we, at that time when we started off, we needed to drill a borehole, we needed to dig a borehole to get water. So that point where this person came and he dug and he drilled, he found to his surprise there wasn't just one stream, there were seven streams converging at that one point. Seven streams. And that water was so brilliant, so perfect, it didn't need any type of filtration system. No systems at all. He said that there were bottling companies that came to know about this. And they came and they approached us in madrasa and said, listen here, for every water that we bottle, we are willing to give you so much of money. Allow us to open up a plant here on this farm of yours. We want to do that. So he says, my style is such that whenever anything comes, I go and make mashura with my ustad. Now this is a very important thing. Making mashura with your seniors, you'll be surprised how much of benefit there is. So he said, I went to my ustad and I told him, there's a good opportunity for income to come to the madrasa to run our projects. People want to come and put up this plant here. So he says, my ustad told me at that time, the moment your mind goes onto money, then it will be very hard for you to give. Put your mind and your tawakkul on Allah. Don't put your mind on money, because money comes, you'll find it very hard to give. So then he says that now recently we put up a dialysis center, because it's very costly for people to go to private hospitals. Very costly, so we want to make it easy. So he says it's part of that dialysis unit. So that person that normally comes, who's the head in charge of developing it and setting up, he said he came there and he told me himself, he said he's a white person, he came and told me, he said that we put up many of these dialysis units in different parts of the country, but one thing that is absolutely necessary for us to do, is we have to put a purification plant with it. So the water that is coming in is pure before it goes, it's free of any type of bacteria before it goes into the body. He says, but I'm surprised, I've tested this water of yours, there's not an inch of bacteria. This water, you can pump it directly into the human body, there's no problem there. So when you make your niyyah to help Allah, Allah will help you. You don't need to go far and wide. All you need to do is help your brother. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of keeping mort in front of us. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of helping people and being of assistance wherever we can. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.